Had you actually read the email, you would know that the podcast you are about to listen to could contain explicit language
and offensive content.
These HR experts' views are not representative of their past, present, or future employers. If you have ever heard, "My manager is unfair to me,"
"I need you to reset my HR portal password,"
or
"Can I write up my employee for crying too much?"
Welcome to our little safe zone. Welcome to Jaded HR.
Welcome to Jaded HR, the podcast by three HR professionals who want to help you get through the workday by saying all the things you are thinking. This is Warren.
Hey, and Feathers is back.
And we have a special guest today.
I was like, all right, when is she going to come in here? Like, we're not on video. We can see each other, but our listeners can't see you. Yeah. Like the big dramatic pause, and then, yay, it's Claire.
Patrick came up with this great idea to invite our listeners to be a part of the show. So reached out, and Claire responded, and we're glad to have her today. She is a recruiter and has experience in the hospitality industry. And I think virtually everybody's been someplace in the hospitality industry somewhere in their career. So, but before we go get started too much, just want to do our regular housekeeping. The ways you can support the show: you can be a Patreon like our original Jaded HR rockstar, Hallie. You can leave a review. You can tell a friend, or you can contribute a story. And I have not looked since in about over a week to see if we have any new reviews, but we've gotten a couple lately, so keep those reviews coming. So alrighty, let's see here. Well, offline we talked about the subjects, and both Claire and I have some experience working in the hospitality industry. I was at a water park for one whole year, and
one whole year, the countdown was on the entire time. Like, get me the F out of here.
It was actually like 14 months. And for me, yes, it was get me the heck out of here. The water park was great, but I'm not suited for managing 400 teenagers at all. But part of the people we managed were international students. We brought in a large contingent of international students on J-1 visas every year. And all jadedness aside, I did learn a lot from them. I had a good time with them. I learned about their countries and their cultures, learned some choice words, which most of them have already forgotten, and things like that. So it was a good experience overall. But like anything else, you got to take the good with the bad sometimes with it as well. Claire, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience in the hospitality industry.
Yeah, so hospitality was the first job I ever had. I cleaned all the rooms in the local Super 8 one summer and worked my way up in the world to an assistant seasonal gift shop manager before the opportunity to be an HR as a recruiter presented itself. And I was really excited because I heard that the recruiters might get to go travel internationally to recruit J1s, which, funny enough, never actually happened for me. But I did get to work with J1 students when they did arrive to where I worked. So,
how many J1s do you think you brought in a year?
It depended on the operation the year. I worked for a few different operations, national parks and ski resorts. Oh. So it was, I think, at the most was around 200 in a season. And just folks from all over the world. And if you would have told me growing up that I would be working with people, you know, an hour away from where I grew up, from everywhere, I wouldn't have believed you. And I loved it. But it was definitely a learning curve for sure.
And I know the hospitality industry, where I live in the Outer Banks of North Carolina area, I'm not on the Outer Banks, I'm just outside, but I want to make that clear. You don't say you're on the Outer Banks if you're not, but the whole local economy is really driven over the summer by international students. There's not enough local population if we hired everybody we could to the staff all the seasonal positions there are. And it's really cool I don't know about your experience, but getting students returning for 2 and 3 years, we had two girls. They were there the year before me, and they were also there the year after me. So they were there 3 years total. So getting to see them, you know, and learn their experiences and things like that, it was just really cool.
Yeah, I loved it. But there was learning all of these different, you know, and I think we were talking about this earlier, all the different nuances when it comes to working with people from other countries. I was a blind American. You know, I just assumed that if you had an American bathroom, that people would use it like an American. They wouldn't like stand on the toilet seat and squat and eventually break your toilet. That when you put out ranch dressing, that people wouldn't just steal all of the containers out of the, because they love, everybody loves ranch dressing. It's I would say it's our strongest export next to Disney for sure. And yeah, just trying to like understand and just and working in some of these remote places and having their parents call and trying to have a conversation with, and their English is terrible, to have them understand, like, who are you? What are you calling about? And are you okay? Okay, let me find your son. There was a one time I worked in the dormitory I was in. There was only one phone and it was right outside of my room. And this dates me a little bit because it was a wired phone. And every day this girl from Jamaica, her parents would call and ask where she was. And I felt so bad, but it would just ring over and over and over again. So I'd pick up the phone and have a quick conversation. I don't know where she's at. Have you seen her? Yes, she's okay. She was at work today. Oh, okay, well, we hope you're doing well. Thank you so much. Like, because my shift would always coincide with these phone calls. And so, yeah, it's just learning to live with it. But it was also interesting how when you get to know them in HR, and they get to open up to you a little bit, you know, starting to realize like they don't really know how to articulate some of the issues that are going on. And so that was one thing I learned as an HR professional from when I started to now, was how to really cue in on some of that stuff, because with their English is so low, they can't sometimes articulate when there's a problem. So that was one of the things that I learned.
Yeah, the communication barriers were something that I found very interesting, but I also found it very interesting that students from, just say, Eastern Europe, their base language was Russian. So even if you were from Russia or all, any of the Stan countries or things like that, where you had a different language was your native language, they communicated with each other in Russian. And I thought that was really cool and interesting overall. The Western Europeans are a little bit more versed in English, a little better versed in English, but I tell you the work ethic, and those two girls we had for a couple of years, they were from Ukraine. I tell you, they were just phenomenal workers and good personalities and great people to have working. So it was a lot of fun. But this isn't getting too jaded here. This is like your stereotypical HR.
Happy.
It's a segue to where
minus a broken toilet seat. Other than that, like, yeah, it's very happy.
Yeah, I would just say, like, for how often these operations use these international workers, like managers, like in the summer, I was just a regular manager. I didn't work in HR, even though I wore an HR hat. There was no training on how to deal with all of these different cultures. And so you're looking at these through American eyes, through American things to do, and you're trying to keep everything going, but at the same time having to take care and understand. I felt so many times, especially in the summer, it got to be angry August, and my management team is like, You're doing this wrong, and you need to make sure that they're pulling overtimes and the rooms aren't getting flipped fast enough and we're not selling enough rooms. And I'm just looking at my staff and they're just like hung up wet, like they're just done. And that was another thing. In the middle of the summer, we would lose half the internationals. The Taiwanese and the Thai would leave. We get the Japanese for 1 month. And their English was non-existent. And so you're like, hey, we're still in the middle of the season. We are all completely done with working at this point, but we got another 2 months. we're going to need you to learn everything in 5 minutes, do it perfectly, and show up to work on time the next day with a great attitude. Yeah. And
they spoke no English.
And I, yeah, and they're just staring at me. And I lived in Japan for a hot second back in the day. And so I was able to just introduce myself, like, and they would just look at me like any other American that tries to speak any other language that they only have a base understanding. There's like, can we,
so you
can
just, you,
please stop?
You just yell real loud.
Do yeah.
You understand me? You don't understand.
And I didn't want to be like, you know, I didn't want to be like the one that's just like bowing all the time or just saying, always saying good morning when it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's the only greeting I knew. But that was where I would get frustrated. Like, I don't know how to keep engaging. And at this point, like, none of the directors are helping you. You're, everybody that's supposed to be, quote unquote, supporting you is gone. And so you're just like, okay, new people from a different country. And I would just, my go-to was like s'mores night. Every American or every international comes to America, they want solo cups and s'mores. Boom, done. I was the most basic American. So that was what, that's my rant about with the internationals. It's just, there's, we really need them, but are we going to take the time to train you on how to best work with them or understand them? No.
And that's one thing I had a crash course in, that you mentioned the students from country A coming and then going, and another country B coming, because the university schedules across the world are all over the place. And it's not your American August through May type thing around the world. And you get some here, you get some there, and they've got to come, they've got to go. It's just really, it's really crazy. And like I said, coming in at the 11th hour, getting some people who are available, then it's crazy. But how about this? What, I don't know, how did you interview? We did Zoom interviews internationally, and you put a language barrier on top of something that's a little clunky like Zoom. That's, that makes some for some horrible, horrible interviews. And it's not the student's fault. It's just a language barrier, Zoom. And, you know, if they're in China 12 hours off of you, you know, we did some weird hour interviews and things like that. It was crazy. Did you actually interview, or did you just have the agency ship you, I need 15 people that want to do this, 10 people that want to do that? And how did you set it up?
For the most part, most of the companies I worked with did have the agencies. However, I was part of some of the interviews just because we use different agencies. And so for one of the jobs I worked, I did sit on some interviews. I wanted to sit in with the hiring managers because this was the first time they were hiring international students. And honestly, I just didn't trust them. But they weren't going to ask something like, they weren't going to give a long-winded question and then have the students stare back at them. But I found out it doesn't really matter. The students would come with a lot of enthusiasm. It was always like really close to the camera, like, and you'd ask them, you're like, what's your name? And they'd be like, yes. And you're like, oh, it says here, your name is Stefan. Yes. Okay, Stefan. We have a job in housekeeping. Yes. And you're like, okay, great. And
do you want
so,
s'mores? Do you want know, s'mores? Yes. And,
so they come and they're so excited. And then you see them after a couple days of housekeeping training. And it's like, and this is like a recruiting thing. And I don't know if you ever guys had that experience of recruiting. When you bring somebody in on a job and they're just like, what did you do? That was the vibe I would get a lot. Or if it was like, somebody was really engaging and we ended up placing them in back of house food and beverage. There was one girl that we placed in housekeeping. She actually came to my gift shop because I switched jobs in the summer and I'm working at the gift shop. And she walked up to me. She was from Taiwan. And she was like, excuse me. Are you the manager here? And I was like, yeah. And I'm just trying to be very polite, you know. Her name is Kim.
Here's a solo cup for you, though. Nice solo cup.
And she came in and
ranch.
Everything about her was very American. She almost had a New York accent. And okay. I was thinking for so maybe she's got that dual citizenship thing going on. She says, here's the deal. I am from Taiwan. They put all the Taiwanese in housekeeping. I don't have time for this. I don't clean. So I want to come work for you. And I was like, oh, okay. And I go, have you talked to the manager? And she's like, you can do that. And she walked away. And I was like, oh. And so I went and talked to the manager. And he's like, yeah, she's not really working out in housekeeping. Can you take her? And so next thing I know, I have this gal. And hand to God, she could sell Native American jewelry like no one's business. She nice. Called me one night. She's like, hey, I accidentally messed up this transaction. It was for $1,000 or it was for $3,000, but I punched in the machine for $1,000. Can you come back and fix it? And I'm just thinking to myself, we don't sell anything worth that. We sold one thing and she sold it.
Like, commission.
Yeah. And, but commission. Yeah, like that was rare. That was a rare case. I had another international student who came to be a dorm cleaner. This is one of my favorite stories. So you have these dorm cleaners. They come at the early of the season in all the national parks, and they clean everything. They're taking, like, you know, dead animals that have burrowed their way into the dorms during the winter. It's super gross. And they just go in there and they tackle it. And this guy was like, I asked him, like, do you want help? Do you want assistance? He's like, no, I've got this. Amazing English. But in order to work the national parks and be a concessionaire, you have to have your property inspected. And that was one of the things. And Warren, we were talking about this earlier when you had mentioned you had family that was interested in working for the NPS. And I hard rolled my eyes because it was it was always a thing. It was always some government bureaucratic's like song and dance routine. This inspector shows up and there's a student or the J1 was with me. And I was like, hey, do you want to come with me so you can kind of walk and see, you know, what she says, what kind of feedback? And he was like, sure, I can do that. And so she walks up and she puts her hand out and he looks at her hand and goes, oh, so you're the inspector, huh? And immediately I'm like, oh, no. And he goes, and he was from Russia. And he goes, in my country, when we have an inspector come, we just give you money and you go away. So how much do you want? Oh. And she looked at me and I was like, oh my. And then he like grabbed my arm. He's like, did I go too far? And I was like, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So this inspector, bit. Were they inspecting the rooms for cleanliness, broken items, or were they expecting for like lost and stolen items?
No. So it's the beginning of the season before they open up the lodges. And so they want to make sure they have a laundry list of things that they want to have fixed. They would ding you if you had a nail hole in the wall. But then I'd walk over to their bathrooms and there's graffiti on there from 1985. And I'd be like, how's that fair? It's not. That was one of my many gripes. But yeah, that was how those inspections worked.
Because that's some position that we did not have that we desperately, in terms of inspecting how it works in the Outer Banks, there's no dormitories or anything. They either stay with private houses or they would before the law changed, or we rented a series, a whole row of townhomes and put as many as we could fit, three in a room times however many townhomes we could get. But let me tell you, they partied hard in those townhomes. And those international students, Feathers, we're from ECU. We know how to party. These guys, they partied hard. And unfortunately, many of them never got their deposits back. And then I was still getting phone calls like 6 months later. I never got my deposit back. Well, you had two broken windows. You know, the carpet, which was brand new, was ruined.
Replaced.
Not kidding. but they were party animals. It was almost impressive if it wasn't so expensive. And that's why they weren't showing up the next day. Oh, I'm too hungover. But what your story also about someone who was taking a job they didn't want. We had an agency send us somebody. It was a water park. We hired a lot of lifeguards. Get into lifeguard training. They don't know how to swim. And they didn't want to do anything else. Like, okay, swimming is generally a good thing to do, be able to do if you are a lifeguard at a water park. And I just happened to be by before the season started, and they're doing lifeguard training in the wave pool. And the person dives in, and then the lifeguard instructor has to demonstrate a live rescue on the person. It was funny, but not funny type situation. But my goodness,
it's like the interview process, right? When you're interviewing somebody, and they say they have a skill, and you're like, okay, and they show up and they don't have that skill. We had at one of my operations. Yes. They had it was a ski hill. You had to have an on snow test to work to operations on top of the mountain. And I had a gentleman come up from Argentina, and he was really excited. His English wasn't great, but I asked him because I was like, hey, we have you scheduled to work at this location up on the mountain. Can you ski or snowboard? And he said, snowboarding. I love snowboarding. I do it all the time. So we go to the person that was in charge of the on snow test, which you have to pass in order to get to that job. And she asked him, hey, what is your experience snowboarding? And he goes, I went once. And this is not a bunny hill. This is Colorado. And so I was terrified. I was like, I don't feel comfortable with him taking this position. And he was like, no, please let me try. Like, I can do this. And you know, these little 23-year-old sad eyes, I was just like, okay, but if anything goes sideways. And I heard that he absolutely did amazing during the on-snow test. And I asked his friends who'd worked there a couple of seasons before, I was like, did he snowboard only once before? They were like, yeah, only once before. He's so great. But that whole day, I was like, oh my God, am I sending this 23-year-old who's come all the way up here from South America to his death?
Oh, man. Yeah. I gripe a lot about it, the J1s, but they were overall a lot of fun for us. Now, so you're doing recruiting now. Where do you want to take your career next?
Oh my God. I just had this conversation with my boss. Like, can you just get to a point where you're just like happy where you are? Like, do you always have to strive? Do you always have to just like continue to excel? Because I feel like I don't want to, and I don't know how to like articulate that to my company. Like, can't I just learn my job and be really good at it? I was a manager for a while, and I never want to do it again. I have nothing but mad props for people to do, but I like being where I'm at. Is that weird?
No. Once you find your groove.
Do you guys are in HR management, right?
Yep.
I'm not a people manager. I'm saying as you. Oh, hell no. I don't have any kids in real life. My business partners and my kids. and that's how I feel like I have to treat them. Yes, Mr. VP, we cannot do that. Do you get dumber the higher you go up the food chain? can't do that.
Where I'm at. That's exactly where I'm at. I don't want to manage people. I have my two coworkers right now are these two cats in this room. Like, this is, I feel like I have reached this level of work nirvana. I work from home.
Sweet.
I can leave and just go to a national park in the middle of the day. Like,
well, that just makes me angry because I want that.
I have like all these different coffee shops within like a 15-minute walk. Like, right. I'm sorry. When people ask me, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to aspire to? I'm living the dream that I have wanted to live a long time. So.
Sorry, Claire. We're not friends anymore, Claire. We're not friends anymore. I want that.
I'm like, not jaded.
I'm aspiring to have your life.
Yeah. Like,
except for the recruiting part. Fuck that. I ain't recruiting anymore.
Like, listening to you guys and all of like, because I was deep into studying for the SHRM test when I started listening to you guys and everything you said about the conferences and the test and the questions. I started questioning everything. And I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm just getting some letters behind my name. There's no even guarantee that I'm going to make more money. And
oh, you don't make any more money.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I was like, why am I doing this? What's the point? And it was like, well, it's so I could become a more, you know, rounded HR professional. But it wasn't worth it. And I ended up dropping out because I was like, I don't want to take this test. This is like a huge waste of my time. But I learned a lot studying.
I just wrote down, shit, I need to make sure my certification doesn't run out. So I'll take that damn test again. Like I'm not doing that shit
once
again.
Once you get it, you have to constantly like take all these certifications. I was like, ew, I don't want to do that.
How many CEs do I have? I need more CEs. I need more CEs. What can I use? What project can I use that will help me with my CEs?
I got 1 year left on my cycle, and I'm only like 10 CEs away for right now. But Claire, you brought me right into something. I was saving it for a different episode, but I was on an email chain. I'm going to put this up on your screen so y'all can see this. And I should have copied and pasted the actual email. So I'm part of a group, a trade industry group. And usually when they send something out, they send it BC'd and you don't get any replies. It's just a blast of information. Well, then they sent out a email not BCC'd and somebody replied all, and it got into a big long discussion.
Yes.
Nothing. Yes. A bunch of HR people. So I don't know if y'all can see my screen here.
It's coming. But yes, I love when somebody messes up like that.
This was this person's signature. And I'm going to abbreviate some of these, but most of these were spelled out other than the word SHRM. Her signature included Executive Director of HR, Chief Human Resources Officer, SPHR, SHRM SCP, Credentialed SHRM Talent Acquisition Specialist, Certified SHRM Total Reward Specialist, Credentialed SHRM Inclusive Workplace Culture Specialist, Credentialed SHRM Workplace Investigation Specialist, BBA, MBA, MPA, HR Consultant Certified. Now, I'm going to get back to that. Human Resources Manager Certified, Training and Development Manager Certified, DEI Certified, Licensed Real Estate Agent, Certified Residential Specialist, Graduate of the Realtor Institute, Notary Public, and Certified Signing Agent. This was on the lady's company email. In the industry I'm in, has nothing to do with real estate at all. But I was just
That's
like,
awesome.
Really? You need to have all that? It was, I kid you not, it was like 6 lines long, this person's
I just
thing.
Had a but, stroke reading this, just FYI.
That was her email
signature.
I can defend
your EEOC claim and sell your house at the same time. What?
And I can notarize it.
Yeah,
it blew me away. So, anyways, I when I see certifications and things, I dug a little deeper, and I wanted to find out what some of these other ones that I wasn't as familiar with. And I looked to the website that had these certifications, and the website looked like a middle schooler did it. Some people may know I do some web development on the side. I have a couple dozen websites I own and run and operate. And unfortunately, I haven't paid any attention to the Jaded HR one in a very long time. But this one looked like the Favicon in the corner was still the WordPress one. And they just did it looked way less incredible. And I'm thinking, how many people have actually shelled out money to this person to get this certification? I'm like, that's a whole nother topic.
The kind
of
people that look at a website like that and they're just like, oh, she gets me.
But
so I feel like I'm busted here now. This is my scam on the side, Warren.
What?
I gotta pay for my student loans. Come on, man. I got my master's degree. I gotta pay for.
Oh, don't even get into the student loan thing right now.
We don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Don't
want to
match any politics stuff. That's all.
You guys
whole
already
politics
covered
fun.
The
politics.
Oh, that was
fun.
The other thing. You guys were amazing during the pandemic. So, like I said, I already dealt with employee housing during that. You guys kept me alive with your Stark. Like I needed that. Thank you.
We don't say the C word.
Yeah.
So
y'all were operating during that time. In operation, still had students there? Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so we didn't have the J1s.
Okay.
And don't even get me started on what a slow night or a bullet train to hell that was. Because then we had real Americans in those positions. And yeah, that was, yeah. Whoa.
I remember the J1 program went away really quick when the global issue happened. I remember reading that.
Claire, I just want to point out a thank you so far. You've given me two new terms I've never heard before. Angry August, which I've written down, and bullet train to hell. Like, I'm like, these are now being like starred and asterisked somewhere. These are going into my permanent vocabulary. Like, damn, you're on a bullet train to hell. Like, that's awesome. I love that.
There was, so, and it was,
thank you.
Yeah, like, and it was such a weird time because you had, you know, the bullet train to hell at the same time, like all of the socio, you know, issues going on in America, and you're dealing with it every day, and then you're living with these people, and
then you roll right into angry August.
It was so angry. Oh. And then you have the guests, like on top of all that. And then you're just like, pizza party, everyone. And Americans were like,
no.
Return to sender. And I deserved it.
Yeah.
I deserved it.
The pizza party is the HR cure-all.
Depends on what you put in the solo cup.
And you couldn't gather people either together. So you'd have to like go up to them while they were working or sitting at a picnic table. With your mask on, like, hey, do you want some pizza? It was just a horrible time to be alive. There was nothing you could do. And I tried, and this is where I got burned out in HR. I tried to lessen the blow, like, here's a bunch of free Gatorades. Like, here's, what do you want? You don't want Gatorade? Here's Monster Energy. I don't care. Whatever you need to get through the day. And it was just, nothing was enough.
And if you're sneaking vodka in it, I won't tell anybody.
I'm not going to tell a damn person.
As long as you're here on time doing what you're supposed to be doing, have at it.
Keep that positive attitude.
When I was a manager, like that was one of the things I said. Because I knew, they're going to come here. They're going to, you know, make poor life choices. I'm like, here's the deal. I don't care what you do, but if you get caught, you're dumb enough to get fired. I think that's fair.
That's a great point. Being smart enough to get away with things is an underrated skill set.
I think of all the things that I did, because I worked for a few of these companies before I worked in HR, and I think about all the things that I did, and when you would catch somebody or they would get their manager return them or whatever, I was just like, I don't feel sorry for you. Like, should have been a little bit brighter here, yo. So,
oh man. Well, yeah, the J1s are a gift that just keep on giving in terms of things. I was emailing you offline, you know, the cultural issues that you have to deal with. I didn't even know, and I'll go ahead and say this, the story I wasn't going to originally. We had two Chinese females who, in the middle of summer in North Carolina, 100 degrees temperature, 100% humidity, are wearing their thick raincoats with the hood on, and they were having heat issues. They were passing out and all these other things. We're like, hey, we provide you t-shirts. We provide you moisture wicking polos. You have options here, but they continuously wore these big heavy raincoats. And it was at the end of the season, and talking to another Chinese student, a gentleman, and he was telling me, no, in our country, you know, women that have porcelain skin are very desirable. And if the darker the skin, their skin, it means they're working outside and they are having to work. And so they're less desirable. And I was like, oh, I mean, these poor girls were really literally dying. I mean, we tell them to take breaks, extra breaks and drink water, but they still wanted to wear these raincoats all season long with the hood on. I was like, wow. You know, and it's a water park. Everything's outside. There's very few jobs that are inside, so you're going to be exposed. So it was
but the rain jacket kept them dry.
It kept them dry.
They're thinking.
I don't know. They're probably soaked from sweat underneath that thing too. I just think, that's our culture telling them, you know, they need to stay fair skinned or they'll be less desirable when they get back home to get married or what have you. And I was like, wow, that never thought of that. So very, very.
Yeah. The cultural things, like we had a group of gals from Jordan and learned really quick. They do not like to have their picture taken. That is not something that was done in their culture. And so we're Americans, we're taking selfies every 5 seconds. And they would just, it was like a bomb went off. They would hit the deck when somebody would like break out a phone or a camera. We'd forget, you know, obviously. And so that was something that happened. I think my favorite J1 memory. Yeah, I know.
We can learn a lot.
My favorite J1 memory was a gentleman who came to work and he was from Taiwan and he got placed in the dish pit. And immediately was like, I can't do this. I am meant to talk to guests. I came here for, you know, a English language immersion. I had just had somebody walk from the front desk. Just gave him a quick interview. And we're like, okay, we're going to place you at the front desk of this hotel. And he learned the system very quickly within like a day. So I came to check on him. He was at the manager. Manager's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for placing him. Like, he's doing wonderful. The guests love him. And we had these huge windows next to the front desk. And they would always, in the middle of the forest, they would get bugs in them. And so usually after the guests had checked out, we'd say, hey, go vacuum the windows, which is a normal request. We had a little tiny Black & Decker at the front desk specifically for that. So the manager's like, hey, can you go? He asked the student, can you go vacuum the windows? And his eyes got really big and he goes, I will do that for you. And we should have gotten that as a cue that there might be an issue. But the manager pulled me aside and he was asking me about a different issue when we see the giant Hoover vacuum going up and down. And he turns it on and it's going up and down the windows. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Jeremy, no. Pulled him in and we explained to him like, oh, we meant the window. And we just show him the window sills and show him the Black & Decker. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite memories.
Yeah.
There's some other ones, but I can't really, like, it's jaded, but it's like.
Yeah.
They don't understand some of the English. So I had a girl that came to me from Taiwan again, and she had the sweatshirt. She would always wear it half zipped, and you could tell the one side said American. And one night we were eating s'mores, and she zipped it up all the way. And I read the whole thing, and I asked her, I was like, Charlotte, what does your shirt say? And she goes, oh, it says American sex. She had no idea that the shirt she was wearing was anything bad until that very moment. And she'd been wearing it the whole summer. So
awesome.
I can't really like write somebody up for that, right?
No. But there's a manager out there. You need to write this girl up for her American sex sweatshirt. Man, overreacting to that. Okay, let's
found out later she was dating the manager, so that was actually an issue. But
that's different.
the hospitality industry has just got so many wonderful stories. Whether it's amusement, recreation, hotels, restaurants. Oh, it's such an interesting place that needs a lot of HR help. So, but I think we're going a little over, and by editing, we'll be just fine. But we want to start landing things. Claire, want to really thank you. If you are a guest of Jaded HR, if you listen to Jaded HR and you want to be a guest on our show, shoot us a DM on Instagram. That's where I'm at most of the time. I'd love to have a few of you on, get your experiences, some of your greatest jaded stories out there. So go ahead and do that for us. And otherwise, you can also do things like be a Patreon, leave a review, tell a friend, or contribute a story. So I did not come up with any sort of best practice. I'm so bad at doing things like that. But I'm just going to say, don't get on the bullet train to hell in angry August. It's our best practice for the night. As always, I want to thank the Underscore Orchestra for the use of their song Devil with the Devil as our intro and outro music. And Andrew Culpa does a great job on our disclaimer. So as always, I'm Warren.
This is Feathers.
Claire. Hi.
And we're helping you survive HR one what the fuck moment at a time.
Where's the nose?
Okay.
It's like,